Hello and welcome to the Raising Men Show, and I'm your host, Craig Carlisle. I love these Tuesdays. Tuesdays are becoming my favorite day of the week. And this, with this being African American History Month, we're signaling out and talking through some history makers that I know personally, so I can have my children always know that it doesn't take a history maker that you see on TV or anyone else that you may have seen on a social media feed or just YouTube for that matter. It's these are people that they actually know real life, personal, have been around and hung around them, know their name, and in some cases know their phone numbers as well, and have talked to them for a long time. And on the phone for the show today, I've got Dr. Bill McCarty. I've known Bill for quite some time. It's definitely influential in my life and my kids' lives, and he's one of those people that I'm sure by the time you get done hearing his story, you'll be like, man, I want to meet him, and I want to be just like him when I grow up. Bill, you out there?
Yes, good evening. How are you doing?
Outstanding, man. It's outstanding. Just trying to not run around like a chick with no head, but, we're trying to always make it work. You know how we do.
I do know that feeling. Absolutely.
Yeah, and so, like I was mentioning before, you and I have known each other for a little while, not probably as long as some of your longer-term friends, but I wanted to make sure that you knew in a public setting, in a setting where you can always go back and listen to, you can always, get your flowers while you yet live, and let you know how much of an impact that you've made on my life and how much, as a friend, that you mean to me and my family.
Go ahead. No, I was going to say that, I equally share in that feeling, being brothers for this period of time that we've known each other, special bond between our families, man, and it's just been an honor and pleasure to know you guys all these years.
Yeah, it's wild. I remember back in the day when Sandy was still alive, I remember the day that she asked me, because she was always trying to find couples and people that we can both deal with and stand, so to speak. And she was looking for people, and then she was coming with people and said, no, I don't like them. No, I don't like him or her or whatever. And she said, well, what about Bill and Devon? Because Bill's cool and Devon are cool. And what do you think about them? I was like, well, yeah, they're good people. And I was like, I'm not sure they would want to hang around with us.
No, man, this is very special, and just the bond again we shared, and just how close we were with our families, man. It's special. It's special, and so it's something that I cherish in Miami, and I know my wife does as well. So we're in it for life.
It's always good to have people, because there's only a few people in my life I can probably count on maybe on a hand and a half of people that I would allow to be around my kids on a regular basis, and that's to me is huge, because as we're going through life, as parents, we're the filters, right? We're the people who need to be influential in our kids' lives. We need to be monitoring the influences in our kids' life and helping them shape what their view of history is, and let them know that they are making, that they're history makers. But so often parents just kind of let things dilly-dally and go. And I know I've been, guilty of moments where you kind of say, I just need to take my hands off the brake for a second. I'm just going to let it go. But you got to keep your hand very near the brake, because you don't always know who's out there.
I agree. Totally agree.
Now, in your life, it's, knowing, I know your past and your background to a degree. People out here don't know. But in helping people understand where you've come from and who you are, who inspires you to be better?
Craig, I can't really point to a single entity in response to that question, but I do have inspirational triggers. I think first and foremost is I just have a gift for inner drive to achieve, and that's something that's been with me from my early childhood through all my experiences, and so I'm very appreciative of that, to have that that inner drive. I think another trigger that I have is just socialization with like-minded individuals. It's great to see, others that are making a difference and who are achieving. And, that is inspirational in terms of, analysis of your own life, my own life, in terms of, again, making a difference and that achievement piece as well. And, as far as the other inspirational, trigger would be, I would say, just an accountability and responsibility to growth. And I've always been of the mindset, there's so many things to learn and there's so many areas to grow in. So I keep that as a constant reminder for me as I seek to go through life and just try to see what's the best life has to offer.
Well, you know what's interesting with that? When I introduced you in the show, when I called you Dr. Bill McCarty, there's some, I want everybody out there to understand that Dr. Bill is not one of the shade tree doctors. He's not, you know, an honorary doctor. And I don't take too much away from a person who's been, you know, blessed with an honorary. But this young man is he worked for his. And I understand that you can work for yours in a different way to be conferred onto the title of being doctor. But I need to make sure we drive this point home that Dr. Bill McCarty is a board certified. This gentleman put the time in. He has doctor because he went to school and earned it. He went to school, put the time in. He practices the art of medicine. Bill, when did you first know that you wanted to be a doctor? I mean, where does the drive and the interest come from? Because you're a doctor and you were in the military. So that's historical in itself to have that be a part of your drive and desire.
Yeah, I think it's multifactorial, but the impetus for wanting to pursue medicine actually started when I was very young, Craig. Kind of story around that is that, I lost my mom when I was very young. I was 9.5 years of age. She passed away from a condition, Graves' disease, treatable condition, if you will. Coming from Mississippi to South, access to medical care and just, I think the nature of, not seeking medical care for issues was one of the complicating things that led to her death. And then my dad, actually, a year and a half later, he was killed in a car accident. And something unavoidable from that perspective. But, it's interesting, having gone through those early childhood experiences, that was something that just was planted inside me, to want to pursue medicine as my career choice. And I think that was surrounding the fact that I just wanted to be, make a difference in other people's lives based upon the experiences that I had at such a young age, if you would. That's been my North Star since that young age. And so, you can say it's a gift from God or whatever you may describe it, but that's really where it all started at.
That's wild. Because my kids have a story that's not completely, obviously I'm still here as one of their parents, but having lost their mom at an early age for a lot of them, that's something that they can definitely connect and resonate with. When you're meeting people and you're going through people, how are you able to shape your past experience to kind of continue to guide either your relationships with them or just how you're wired up right now?
It's interesting. For me personally, having experienced those things as I did in the childhood and as well as some other experiences through adulthood, one thing that I could say I identify with is one, the experience of, seeing sickness and seeing death, so up close and personal. So in my field practice, there's an identification with that. So there's a sense of understanding what people are going through in moments of illness and or loss that allows me to connect on a different level. In terms of the delivery of care. That's kind of it's been a mainstay in my career, just recognizing that I have that experience to rely on in terms of understanding that piece, but being able to take that, that connection and being able to go into a care plan with a patient that they know that I have their best interests at heart when it comes to whatever that collective agreement is.
Now, do you see yourself in that capacity? And I know, because you and I've had when I had kidney stones, I remember what the kids were calling you, and I remember laying on the bathroom floor. I was talking to you. And when people don't know, you know, Bill's got a smooth voice, you know, smooth guy, but there's a big difference between, you know, Bill, the casual, we're just talking friends to, hey, there's a medical emergency right here. Your tone and tenor in your voice just flips. And so I want to make sure people really understand. I've experienced that firsthand because, and as you're doing that life analysis and just being who you are, do you see yourself as a history maker? I mean, because, I mean, to me, that was historical just when you did that to me in the phone. I never had that seen that side of you before. I knew you were a doctor. I knew you did your thing, but I had never been a patient before until then.
I think, you know, that definition of a history maker, I think that is, you know, that's an analysis I leave to someone else. It's, you know, but on a personal perspective, you know, I wouldn't necessarily classify myself as a history maker. I think I would more be inclined to say, you know, being a difference maker and, you know, and just, you know, just being there to answer a call. So, you know, that's kind of how I look at it, you know, just recognizing that, you know, that's a talent and a gift, and this is where it's meant to be utilized, and doing it to the best of your abilities, then, you know, that's kind of my view on that. But, you know, as far as, you know, letting, I guess, the journey itself speak for itself in terms of that analysis as a history maker. Yeah. You know, I'll leave that to others to decide.
Well, I tell you what, I'll be one of the others, and I'll let you know that you have made history in our lives, in my life. So I always loved for you.
Appreciate that.
Because you're a humble guy. You're a soft-spoken guy. But there's never been a point where you've been ever shied away from an issue, whether it be conflict or construct. You know, it's there's no shy in you. You know what I'm saying? And that's a great thing, to be humble and people not being arrogant. I know that comes from, you know, upbringing, that comes from just your relationship with God, that comes from who you are as a person. But I have definitely been trying to encourage all my guests to understand and know that everything that you've done, you know, is historical. Because the premise for the show for me came from the standpoint, I was upset and frustrated, and I was just going to rant and rave, and I was talking to God. I'm like, look, I'm tired of looking at all these black and white photos of people who were long since dead and gone. And to be truthful, some of the pictures are so old that I'm not even sure they are who they say they are in those pictures. I didn't know if Sojourner Truth was really Sojourner, because is she really that lady in the black dress that they always like to show with a button up the front? She's standing with a scowl on her face? Or, you know, Frederick Douglass, I know. Is he always the guy with the profile and the salt and pepper gray afro parted down the side? I don't know. But I know you. I've known some of my other guests as who you are. Again, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back to part two of the Raising Men Show.
Hey, everyone. My name is Eric Tomlinson with the Tomlinson Group at Rancon Real Estate, where we design the sale of your home around you. With our nationwide network of agents, you and your family are at the center of every decision, conversation, and step of the journey to your next home. From hello to congratulations, selling your home with the Tomlinson Group at Rancon Real Estate is designed to both learn and surpass your expectations. Call me today at 951-970-6727 so we at the Tomlinson Group can begin surpassing your expectations today. We want to work for you.
Does your business need to rank higher on the Google search engine? Do you want everything that your company touches to turn to gold? If you've answered yes to either of those questions, you need to contact Bright Media House. Generating relevant customer leads is critical to increasing sales and growing your business. By figuring out which online sales and social media marketing channel to use and how to use them can be overwhelming, especially when you have a business to run. Digital marketing is something every business owner and marketing manager needs as a part of their strategy. For more information, go to www.brightmediahouse.com or email us at info@brightmediahouse.com. And welcome back to the Raising Men Show. Again, I'm your host, Craig Carlisle, and I'm so excited again to have my guest, Bill McCarty, Dr. Bill McCarty, on the phone with us right now. And Bill, share a little bit of your story, if you don't mind, with the people so we can understand, you know, how you got your start, where you came from. I know you shared, you know, a little bit in the first segment about your parents and, you know, the early loss of the both of them in, you know, really short order. But help us paint the picture as people understand where you've come from and help us understand where you are now.
Well, you know, that's a continuation. You know, I like to describe my journey as kind of the road less traveled. Again, those early experiences, again, through loss of parents and things of that nature, I think what was bred from that is just being focused and driven. And so, you know, the majority of my young childhood and, you know, middle school days and high school days was in just intentionally and intently focused on academics. And because I knew that, you know, in order to fulfill that dream, I had to be strong in my academics. And so was also a scholar athlete along with that. So that helped facilitate getting a scholarship, full ride scholarship to Tennessee State University, where I started off, if you will. Had some experiences there, had an injury that kind of shortened my football career and ended up transferring to Jackson State University and finished my bachelor's degree there in biology and pre-medicine. With limited means and not wanting to, you know, assume a lot of loans and things of that nature, right after I graduated from Jackson State, I actually received my commission into the United States Navy. So I came into the Navy as a naval as a surface warfare officer, and just completely went a different direction from the medicine field, if you will. But you know, that was important for me. I did that for almost 6 years, and I grew so much, you know, seeing the world, travel, just growing up as a young man with responsibilities, things of that nature. It really set the foundation for that next step, which was going to medical school. So went into med school, on behalf of the Navy, as far as, if you will, and did my med training, medical school training, et cetera, within the Navy in the D.C. area. Did my internship and residency in the D.C. area, and trained in pediatrics is my specialty. And maybe just to kind of expound upon that just a little bit, you know, the reason I chose pediatrics was because of some experiences that my wife and I, who were married at the time, had with childbearing. We had a daughter, Austin, of course, who was three at the time I started med school. And then in the second year of medical school, we got pregnant with twins, who unfortunately were born prematurely. And so we spent 6 months in neonatal intensive care unit with them before we ended up losing them. They passed away on Thanksgiving and Christmas Day, respectively, of the year. So for me, that was, you know, one of those instances where you are kind of, for me personally, it gave me purpose in terms of what I wanted to do in the field of medicine. The practice pediatrics, if you will. And so went that route for residency and training. And from there, I got assignments in California where we met. finished up my legal career in California as far as medicine there. Retired out of naval medicine and currently transitioned to the civilian side. Still involved in medicine, not practicing clinically, but more executive medicine is what I'm in now. That's kind of that professional journey, if you will, in terms of that concern.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's wild. When you were in, really coming up military-wise, and even as a youth, did you feel that you knew there was a turning point when you realized, you know, I can do something more. I don't want to say different than anyone else or better, mm-hmm. but did you see that moment when you go, you know what, I could do this, even on the sports field or just in the military itself? Share with me some points when you realize in your life, you know, I could do that better, and I know I can.
You know, I think that I had somewhat of a survivor's attitude, right? Meaning that there was no plan B, no plan C. You know, what the plan that was in front of me was the plan that had to succeed. And so, in the pursuit of that plan A, you know, there was no room for failure. You know, I wouldn't allow room for failure, that is. And so, you know, facing obstacles and challenges throughout growing up. And I had to formulate that, again, that survivor attitude to figure out how to overcome, how to push through, continue the pursuit of what I believe was possible for me. And so I think that was critical, you know, to have that type of mentality that created that drive.
Yeah, I see, because as all the time I've known you, I've never seen you in a second guess mode. I've always seen you as, okay, you know what, you may be thinking about something, maybe praying about something. I know you've, you know, mentioned before, you know, Dee and I were talking about something and, you know, we're going to figure out where we're going to go. But that's, until you mention it right now, it confirms it. I've never heard you say we're going to either do this or that. It's, well, we're thinking about what the plan's going to be. And then we're going to go after it. And that's wild, because a lot of us go through life where it's, oh, it's this or it's that or dilly dally, and I don't really know, and we just kind of spin. I've never seen you spin.
Appreciate that. It doesn't go without, you know, those moments where, you know, where obstacles and challenges will kind of, you know, bring in a sense of doubt, if you will.
Sure.
I think we all are human in that respect, but, you know, it's kind of how you deal with that, you know, how long you stay in that space.
When you were in football, what position did you play? Were you tailback?
Yeah, I was a big play both ways. I played running back and linebacker in high school, and then in college, I was pretty much played running back, recruited as a running back there.
And the reason why that comes to mind so readily is that because that seems to remind me of how you live your life as like a running back. Because I've always watched a lot of, you know, been an armchair hero on the athletic field. And I've seen and heard people coach running backs, and they say, look, when that hole opens up, you got to hit it. You can't second guess. You can't dance in the hole. You got to turn, plant your foot in the ground, and get up in there. And that's really how I've seen you live life. Is that when, you know, you see the play develop, you know when the play is coming, and when that, if it needs to be a shift in the play, or that hole opens, you're in there. It's not, you know what I'm saying? It's not like it's a, oh, let me just, nope. You come through.
That's a good analogy. Yeah. I never thought of it from that perspective, but that's a good analogy. Yeah. It's good.
Yeah.
I have to use that
one. Oh, no problem. I love the way you live. Because your wife is a great party planner. So when Duana puts on a party, and then the McCarty parties are legendary. I'll just say it like that. So those of you who have been able to experience a McCarty party, it's really cool. And I know, I remember the day that you retired and we had your retirement party, and just to watch you in the dress white. And I know I was taking pictures that day, but I still find that day stuck in my memory. And I was having, that day was probably one of the roughest days I'd had in my life. Short of Sandy being passed away, we had some issues with our film that day, and people were calling me, and we were dealing with some pretty catastrophic things. But I still remember what kept me going was watching your family and yourself at that moment during your retirement. There was so much joy, there was so much grace, there was so much pride there in the whole day. And the day, I remember, it was a beautiful sunny day, and you know, you were there accepting the, you know, the time to be, you know, retirement ceremony, but I don't know the proper term for it, but when there were people speaking for you, speaking about you, and, you know, I was taking pictures of your family and you, and just those captured frozen moments of what joy looked like and pride and love for their father, for their, you know, Duana as being your husband, you know, you being her husband and things like that. It's just, that day meant a lot. When you look back over your military career, what do you see historically in what you've achieved through the military?
You know, it's interesting. You know, for me personally, I think when I came into the military as a naval officer in the surface warfare side, first and foremost, the percentage of black naval officers was very low in the Navy when I came in. I think we were less than 3% of total population of all the officer corps. So that in and of itself, you know, created somewhat of an anomaly in terms of just being present and being able to and privileged to hold that position, if you will. And then even coming to the medical side, you know, the percentage of black physicians, and especially in leadership positions, was even, you know, smaller. So from that perspective, you know, I think that was opportunity to be part of a trailblazing and creating opportunities, providing examples for future leaders in the Navy specifically. I was very much involved in recruiting for minorities into our medical programs, whether it be for our health profession scholarships, or Baker Medical School, and or officer programs, et cetera. I thought that was one of my responsibilities, having been in that position, to be able to kind of reach back and provide that, you know, that link, if you will, to someone else to who maybe wanted to share in that same position.
You there?
Yeah, I'm here. Okay. Can you hear me?
Yeah. I thought I lost you for a second. Yeah, I enjoyed that part of the military. My dad tried to get me to go to the military when I was much younger. He did 26 and a half before he retired. And I tell him, you know, I just couldn't do it. I had a hard time in my mind with the whole boot camp thing, not from the standpoint of completing the physical labor, but I think it was the mental in-your-face yelling and screaming and trying to break your personality. And I had the same thing about fraternities, but I didn't see the big picture until long after, and I got older in life, that it was nothing about trying to be negative. It was trying to weed you out to make you understand what you could and couldn't do and make sure that they could help you in a battle mode or life crisis mode. You knew what your body was going to be doing or not doing. And I think that's really key to understand what and who you are. We're going to take another break. And when we come back, Bill, which help us understand, help the people understand throughout the courses of your life growing up to now, how you've been able to really continue to take the things that you've been through and continue to shape and to even tell your kids, this is how we're going to do it. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Race of Men Show, and I'm your host, Craig Carlisle, and we'll be right back.
Who you hire as your realtor matters. You need a realtor who looks out for your best interests and not their own. Marie Clark with Allison James Estates is a full-time realtor, specializing in helping first-time homebuyers in Temecula and the surrounding areas. She is also a ministry leader. Today, why don't you choose Marie Clark to buy or sell your next home? Please call 951-265-6259.
This is Craig Carlisle, the host of The Raising Men Show, and I'm also an executive producer of the independent feature film, Restored Me.
I lost everything for something I didn't do. What type of God is going to watch a man get up on his feet and then kick him right back down and get dragged through the dirt again?
It's a powerful, feel-good dramedy that centers around a young man trying to restore his relationship with his young daughter and her mother.
Talk to him just like you're talking to him.
Where have you been, kid? These people take communion from me. I am their God.
This film speaks to restoring your faith and pushes a bold message of positivity and motivation. The cast includes Gary Owen, Bill Duke, William Lee, Matt Gerald, Richard T. Jones, Malik Yovo, Yancey Arias, and Bo Casper Smart, just to name a few. Restored Me is available on over 100 digital markets, including iTunes, Amazon, and on demand from your local cable provider. Buy it, rent it. Either way, I'm asking you to watch it. It'll bless your life.
And we're back to the Raising Men Show. This is segment three. And again, my host on the phone is Dr. Bill McCarty, and he's giving us some great information and great leadership and great historical context in terms of who he is and where he's been, where he's going. And before we went to the last break, the question I posed for Bill, so is help the people understand, how do they take their past and use it as a springboard to their future, not using their past as a reason to continue to lay out and wallow in the dirt?
You know, I think that everything is important in terms of experience, if you will. You know, all our past experiences are purposeful. And, you know, taking the time to learn from those experiences is and apply the, you know, the wisdom learned from those experiences into current and future endeavors is very important and where you have to go. So, you know, many people look at, you know, say hard experiences or painful experiences in the past in a negative sense, but, you know, that ability to turn those type of experiences into something of an opportunity for growth. I think that's the challenge that people have or should have in lives, to understand, you know, after the fact is when it usually happens, what this all meant and where is it all leading to. So I think how you master that is you have to live in your moment, right? You have to live through whatever you're going through and have a self-awareness to the everything that's going around in that particular experience, all the emotions, all of the other triggers that are going on, and just absorb that. So, you know, when you come out on your other side of it, you know, you can have something to reflect on and grow on, and to learn from as far as, you know, where is it all leading to. You know, often the puzzle of life, you know, it doesn't give us an answer as we go through. But all the pieces are very important to putting the puzzle together. And so every experience, every piece of the puzzle is critical and key in terms of how it fits into that next, you know, that next piece of the puzzle until you get that full picture.
Yeah. What's your passion, Bill, right now? Because I mean, you've been athlete, star, been on the court, played in a bright light, big city. You've been in the military, come up, doctor, changed cities as a, you know, family, changed cities as, you know, empty nester, both kids graduated from college. What's your passion? Mm-hmm. What drives you now? I mean, what's next for Dr. Bill?
You know, it's interesting. This chapter I'm in right now in life is, you know, just trying to garner all the wisdom I've learned and apply it in a way that, you know, is appropriate for me at this stage of life. And that comes from the professional as well as the personal type of development and growth. So on a passion perspective, you know, I'm into, you know, awareness now, self-aware, social awareness, what I call my emotional intelligence. Is kind of the best descriptive of it all, because it signifies how I, you know, respond to, you know, again, that sense of awareness and those who allow me. So I guess I'm passionate about this part of life and growth because, you know, all these things we've talked about, you know, they made me who I am. And now that I have the opportunity to kind of look back and the picture is becoming more clear, you know, now I can, you know, can really absorb that opportunity to, you know, to put it together and then be able to communicate it to others and whether it be my kids, my family, people I come across, et cetera, just from a lessons learned perspective. So I think that's where my passion is right now, is just to, you know, to grow from that, just again, that emotional and spiritual enlightenment piece, and then to really kind of, you know, harness that as I hopefully would get older and experience more.
In your field right now, what do you do right now with your doctors in terms of in executive medicine and how are you able to shape that future of medicine?
So right now, you know, I serve as a regional medical director for a healthcare organization here in the state of Florida. We deliver care to patients who are geriatric patients, 65 years or older. And so in the capacity in my role, you know, what I'm responsible for is pretty significant patient population here and delivering quality medical care to those who, you know, who otherwise may be disadvantaged or low income. Or of a need, if you will, from access to care perspective. So that's my current type of professional role. And, you know, in this capacity, you know, it's a new space for me in terms of medicine, if you will. But I'm growing in the space and, you know, getting more depth and knowledge. It's kind of from the, you know, I've gone from the cradle side, practicing pediatrics, to more of the, you know, the elderly side and dealing with the elderly. So it's quite interesting from that perspective. So really kind of growing in the space from a professional perspective. And as I shared earlier, you know, that my personal journey is just to, again, you know, kind of take this moment and opportunity and, you know, see where it takes me.
That's cool. And it's funny because when I watch, I thought you were going to say, I went from the cradle, now I'm at the grave side of the medicine.
I was going to say that, but I decided not to say grave.
No, I think it's funny because medical is always been a hot button for me too. Because you know, when Sandy was sick and everything, we dealt a lot. You know, and you helped me with a lot of the side of medicine. Didn't really understand it. Don't still to this day really don't understand how and why it works. And but you know, it's a practice. I understand, and it's a journey. And man, my hat's off to you to be able to be in those moments with medicines. And I'm sure you've had times when you don't have an answer for a patient, and you, because you've been there at the point where you don't understand why the medicine didn't turn, why your kids didn't follow the medicine degree, why you wanted and they passed away. That had to have definitely been a whole different motivation. And I don't always understand and see that. As you're going through and been through, how do you continue to be? How do you keep yourself from being depressed? Because whenever I say you, I mean, you've always got a focus, man. How do you maintain that focus?
You know, I think, you know, it's recognizing what your gift is, right? You know, this is my gift that I've been graced with, and so the exercise of that gift, you know, it's doing what is required and is necessary to honor that gift. And so, you know, all components and, you know, medicine is, you know, it's just, you know, it is what it is in terms of, you know, what people go through in life, becoming sick, becoming ill, you know, maybe through the concept of dying, et cetera. You know, it deals with life. And so for me, I don't get depressed necessarily behind, you know, a specific situation that may happen. You know, there's almost, you know, it's not kind of harsh, but it's almost an emotional disconnect from that perspective. However, the connection is just in what you're doing as an intervention, you know, on the personal level as well as on the medicine level. And so that's where my focus is. And that allows me to keep focus is to recognizing that, you know, I'm here to serve a purpose, right? And so in that purpose, you know, you have to be intent that you're performing that purpose to the best of your abilities, and letting that be the driver in those interactions.
In your medicine field, I want to ask this question probably three times. So I want to think about the same question with three ways. But what's been your greatest day in medicine?
My greatest day in medicine? Oh, gosh. Oh, man, you're making me think. I think there have been many. I would say probably one instance that stands out was during my residency days when I was a senior resident taking call as a solo resident in a hospital out in D.C. And we had a mom who actually came through. She's a pregnant mom who came through the emergency room, and you know, I was the only provider in the emergency room that had pediatric training. I was still a resident, but I was a pediatric resident. So this mom came in, she was about maybe 27 weeks, 28 weeks gestation, and she came in ready to deliver. And so, you know, here was, you know, me as a senior resident and some nursing staff and, you know, in an environment where you didn't have the equipment to resuscitate, preemie and things of that nature, but we delivered that mom in the ER there, and I was able to stabilize her, you know, intubation, stabilization, et cetera, while making a call back to the tertiary hospital to get the transport team over to pick up the infant and things of that nature. So, you know, that was a fulfilling day, man, you know, to make a difference in saving a life from that perspective. And, you know, that was kind of one of those fulfilling days. Yeah.
Now, same question.
I thought about that in a while.
What was the best day on the football field?
On the football field? Gosh, my goodness, man. Again, many days, my brother. I would say that I would point to during high school, we were a phenomenal team. I was all-state varsity player for 4 years while I was there. But I think just participating on those championships, we were 3 years state champs in a row. And celebrating those victories for those championships were exciting. It was very exciting days. It was a reward to some hard work on the field, if you will.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I can't even, because when I played baseball and I wanted to play basketball, that was never something I actively pursued, but being able to do that and watch the kids play and, you know, watch other people play and have achieved that, man, it's, to me, that's so much fun. We're going to take our last break. And when we come back, the same question again, what's been your greatest day as a parent? But hold that answer. We'll be right back. Again, you're listening to The Raising Men Show, and I'm your host, Craig Carlisle, with my guest today, Dr. Bill McCarty. We'll be right back.
This is Craig Carlisle, the host of The Raising Men Show, and I'm also an executive producer of the independent feature film, Restored Me.
I lost everything for something I didn't do. What type of God is going to watch a man get up on his feet and then kick him right back down and get drugged through the dirt again?
It's a powerful, feel-good dramedy that centers around a young man trying to restore his relationship with his young daughter and her mother.
Talk to him just like you're talking to him.
Where have you been, kid? These people take communion from me. I am their God.
This film speaks to restoring your faith and pushes a bold message of positivity and motivation. The cast includes Gary Owen, Bill Duke, William Lee, Matt Gerald, Richard T. Jones, Malik Yobo, Yancey Arias, and Bo Casper Smart, just to name a few. Restored Me is available on over 100 digital markets, including iTunes, Amazon, and on demand from your local cable provider. Buy it, rent it. Either way, I'm asking you to watch it. It'll bless your life.
And we're back to the Raising Men Show. And again, I'm your host, Craig Carlisle. Final segment. We're taking this thing all the way home. So we left you in the end of the last segment with a question for you, Dr. Bill. What has been your greatest day as a parent?
As a parent? I have point to 2 days. Actually, 3-4 days, if you will. Greatest days as a parent was seeing my children being born. There's nothing better, nothing can match that emotions and feelings, to see your child come into the life. And that's applicable for all my kids. I think the other second proudest days related to seeing my kids graduate from college. My daughter from Howard, was a proud moment for us as parents, and we're about to celebrate my son's Brooklyn graduation from Morehouse College, and equal anticipation of that emotion and feeling for that day as well. So it's just great to see them achieve some goals that they set out on, and as they launched into their adulthood life.
Mm-hmm. Okay, last time I asked the same question, the greatest day as a husband.
As a husband, it's marrying my wife, man. Divana and I, we met in college sweethearts, man. Dated for 5 years while I started off my naval career. But, that day we put the rings on, man, that was my proudest moment as a husband.
Now, how did you meet Divana? I mean, I knew you had one of those stories, because the one part you didn't touch on yet is that you are a Greek fraternal organization member, and I'm sure being a member of that fraternal organization, you have a certain degree of confidence about that. And I know you guys were out on the yard one day, quite a many days out there. but how did you meet your wife during the college days?
I think you know all the other details, but just to keep it B-rated, I met my wife, part of Kappa Alpha Psi fraternity, and my wife's dad, actually, he was a frat brother. I didn't know it at the time, but I met her. She was hanging out. Her and her sister were hanging out underneath our tree, we call it, on campus and stuff like that. And so that was the sacred ground, you know. Only, well, for one, only the bros could, you know, be up under the tree, unless it was significant others, you know, that were allowed to be up under the tree. But she was flying solo, and also that raised the question about who are you, you know. And then, you know, through some connections and friends, I found out who she was, man, and, you know, we made a connection, man, and the rest is history.
That's definitely historical, I tell you what, because you guys are a great couple, man. And I wanted to make sure that you've touched on the Kappa Alpha Psi fraternity side, because my oldest son Shane is he's a member of the same organization, and I know when he said he was going to pledge, I was like, you know what, you really can't pledge any other organization but that one. You know, I never shared anything with him, you know, about that, because I wanted to make sure he always made the choice on his own. And we've known other Greeks out there, and no shade on any other organization, but of the ones that we knew personally that were involved, that were active in his life then, you know, you and that organization were probably represented. Well, of course, you represented you were representing, you know, the Kappas then. You were just who you were. I think Shane really saw a lot of future kind of things, and, well, if I'm going to do it, that's the way I wanted to do it. So I want to make sure that you always knew that, as a father, I thank you for that, because you've been instrumental, especially keeping him, you know, kind of another guidepost out there.
Hey, it was an honor to be part of Shane's initiation into the fraternity. You know, he and Brooklyn are, man, they're blood brothers, actually. And so, you know, Brooklyn's also, he's a third generation legacy cap as well. So, you know, for me, man, as an old head, you know, that makes me doubly proud of these young men who are coming up, you know, representing the fraternity, representing what we're all about in terms of achievement, and proud of them. Proud of Shane, proud of Brooklyn, man. They definitely, man, are good young men.
Yeah, so I guess to say that the future is bright for that organization, and for the future in general, because from a historical standpoint, if we don't keep training up our children in the way they should go, that when they're older, that they'll depart from it if we're not doing our part.
Sure. Very true. Very true.
In this last segment, Bill, what would you, I don't even know how to ask this question the proper way. What would you want your kids to know about you that you don't, not quite sure if they know yet for sure about their dad?
You know, as far as what my kids should know, you know, is kind of what I'm about, and I don't think it's a mystery to them. But the things that I would want them to know on a very intimate level is to understand, you know, where my purpose comes from, and how that purpose, you know, parlays into my passion in life. And what drives and what keeps me in my passion is the perseverance in it all, you know, to maintain the stay. And so I want them to, you know, understand their dad from that perspective. And so they can apply those principles in terms of their life choices, if you will. Again, finding a purpose and living in passion and appreciating the journey that it takes to, you know, to achieve. You know, we talk about that often, and it's a message that I give to them, and I've given to them over the years, and I still to today, you know, is to drive home those three P's.
I love to watch you guys parent, because, you know, with Austin having been older than our kids, it was easier for me to look at a person. It's like, okay, how are they doing with teenagers? How are they dealing with driving? How are they dealing with college? Because I was watching, bro. I was getting ready to send Shane away to school, and I was like, I'm not sure how are we going to do this one. But it was great to always watch and listen to you guys live. I used to coach Brooklyn in travel basketball, and it was, you know, we just watch him play football, and, you know, we just followed his acting career loosely from afar, and now, you know, him doing producing and writing, we're definitely supporting and watching him. But as parents, I've always watched you and DeWanna just, you know, you guys would listen. You would definitely give your input, and it never seemed to be like an over-the-top constrictive type of parenting, unless it was required to course correct behavior. Where did you guys get that thought from? I mean, is it something that you've always wanted to have as a parenting style that you developed on your own, or is it something that you just kind of had to grow and say, no, this worked best for us, so that's all we knew?
You know what? You know, parenting is a growth process too, right? You know, many of us learn how to parent based upon our own parents, if you will, and how we were raised. So, but what Duane and I learned early on is that, you know, we had to adjust our parenting technique based upon their developmental age, if you will. And so, you know, from early, you know, early nurturing, and when they couldn't take care of themselves, man, that was a different requirement as a parent. To, you know, to those teenage years, when that was a different conversation and a different art of parenting from that perspective, to even now, where you're dealing with young adults and, you know, we're still parents, but we become more of consultants in their lives now. So I think it's the ability to recognize and adjust your parenting skill to the needs of your child.
Now that you're an empty nester, how do you... And I'm I can't wait to be an empty nester, bro. And let me tell you, I'm counting down the days. I got an hourly countdown clock on my phone. I can't, I'm a long way from that time, you know. But how did you make sure that Duane and yourself didn't become disconnected and lost in just being defined as parents only and not a husband and wife team?
As empty nesters?
Yeah.
Gosh, I think, you know, it's interesting. And we talk to our kids every day, every day, you know, and via phone or whatever, or FaceTime or whatever. And so we never disconnect from that perspective, if you would. You know, but, you know, one thing that, you know, being that they're older and they're out and they're doing their own thing, what has allowed for Lee and I is to, you know, just reform and reinvent our relationship. You know, and because you don't have that filter anymore, you know, talking through your kids to each other in that regard. So, you know, we appreciate the quality time we had together and being able to, you know, sit up in the morning, have a cup of coffee together and come on in the evening, maybe, you know, sit over a glass of wine or something like that. Just those, you know, those moments are very special, you know, right now.
It's so funny being older and wiser as we are now, man. I wish we could go back in time and remind yourself to do something different. What would you tell yourself after all this time now? If you could go back and say, you know what, Bill, at whatever age, I need you to do this. What would that this be?
You know, if I had, you know, one thing I could go back and tell my younger self, you know, I would say, you know, I know it now. But then I would say, pay attention to living in the moment, right? You know, there's, you know, it's so powerful to be able to absorb your moment experiences and not just take it for granted, right? And that would be the one thing that I would, you know, I would say to myself is live in your moment, enjoy it, you know, and let that be your focus. Yeah.
Well, I take that as a word for the day. Because again, and you've been listening to the Raising Men Show. And this is a series that we're doing, an ongoing series for the entire month of February. History in the Making, Owning Our Place in History. And reminding everyone that as you're going through life, as you're doing everything from cup of coffee in the morning to wine at night, or some of us are putting our teeth in a jar at night, everything we do is historical, because we can even look back and say, man, had I brushed a little bit better and not eaten that and brushed at night in the morning, I still have those teeth in my mouth instead of in the jar over there. But everything we do has purpose. And Dr. Bill is just spending a lot of time making sure we know we should live a very purposeful life. We should take those steps of advancement every day. And again, I encourage everyone to live a life like a running back. Now, if you don't know what a running back does, Google it, as they say. I'll tell you what a running back does. It makes defined purpose. It makes defined turns and makes defined choices. So when the opportunities in life open up for you, you'll be ready, not just luckily being there, but you'll be ready and properly prepared for those opportunities. Again, you've been listening to the Raising Men Show. Man, Bill, I appreciate you for joining today. And it's just been long overdue, bro.
Absolutely. Thank you, Craig. Thanks for reaching out, man. It's it's great to talk to you, man. And, you know, nothing but love and respect for you, man, and the family, man. So really appreciate this.
Oh, same. And I know we're going to see each other very, very soon towards the end of the year. We'll be able to spend some time together for sure. And that's already inked in on the contract and on the calendar. So we're definitely looking to see you then. But you know what? You never know what the Lord has in mind. We may see each other before the end of the year. But for all those that are out there listening, we'll see you guys next Tuesday on the Raising Men Show, every Tuesday right here on WKBY 1080 AM. That's out of Chatham, Virginia. And if you're listening to us online, that would be at WKBY1080.net or any of our online affiliates, iTunes, we'll be on Spotify, as well as on theraisingmenshow.com. Again, I'm your host, Craig Carlisle, and we'll see you again next week.
It's been a long time.
Reach up. You got it.
I'm back. This is Craig Carlisle, the host of the Raising Men Show, and I'm back Tuesdays, 2 p.m. and 10 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. Pacific, right here on WKBY 1080 AM and WKBY1080.net. Tune in and we'll have real talk about real life.
Hey everyone, my name is Eric Tomlinson with the Tomlinson Group at Rancon Real Estate, where we design the sale of your home around you. With our nationwide network of agents, you and your family are at the center of every decision, conversation, and step of the journey to your next home. From hello to congratulations, selling your home with the Tomlinson Group at Rancon Real Estate is designed to both learn and surpass your expectations. Call me today at 951-970-6727 so we at the Tomlinson Group can begin surpassing your expectations today. We want to work for you.